A young hunter strides into camp hauling an antelope, chest puffed. He expects praise. He gets teasing. An elder chuckles. Big boast for small meat. The group laughs. The hunters show the strut and he sits. Later, the same elder quietly shows a camp where to find water and how to smoke meat so it lasts. By dawn, no one doubts who led them. In this band, status isn't seized. It's granted to the one who helps everyone do better.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Hello and welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and today we go on with our hierarchy mini-series with Prestige, Power Through Influence, the mirror image of last week's episode on dominance. And one quick reminder before we dive in, this fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its online leadership academy. And the first thing the academy will do is it will launch a course that helps leaders decode the psychological, biological, and evolutionary traps that hold organizations back and what to do about it. So stay tuned. Okay, let's talk about what prestige is and isn't. Prestige is influence gained because others freely defer to you out of respect for your skill, knowledge, generosity, or ability to teach, as Henrik and Chita White 2001 wrote. And again, we have literature in the show notes, lots of literature. Dominance compels through threat. Prestige attracts through value. Under dominance, people comply because they must. Under prestige, people follow because they want to. Now, how did prestige evolve? Well, two deep shifts made the prestige route viable in our species. One, reverse dominance. Coalitions that tame bullies. Foragers enforced equality with leveling tactics, joking, ridiculing, shunning, and in extreme collective punishment to keep the would-be alphas from lording over the group. If you couldn't coerce your bandmates without payback, the only way to gain lasting status was to earn it by helping others. And then secondly, due to cultural learning, status for those worth copying. Humans survive by learning tools, tactics, medicines, norms. Groups that preferentially defer to the most competent and generous individuals who shared knowledge outperformed groups that didn't. And Henrik and Chita White, 2001, call this freely conferred deference. We pay respect and attention to high performers so we can learn from them. Over time, prestige became an adaptive social technology, a stable way to coordinate around the best available know-how. The follower psychology? Well, admiration over fear. Prestige triggers a distinct follower mindset. Instead of vigilance and obedience, followers feel admiration, trust, and a desire to emulate. We copy high-prestige individuals, their techniques, their habits, even their styles, because copying successful models historically paid off. Remarkably, even infants seem to grasp the difference. Research shows that 21-month-olds, 21, expect others to keep following a respected leader even when the leader leaves, but not a bully once the threat is gone. In short, respect sustains influence. Fear evaporates with the enforcer. And that's amazing how our evolutionary biology shaped neuronal network works. 21-month-old brains even get that. Now, what are the group-level payoffs? Contrasted with dominance, prestige produces a different organizational climate. And there are a couple of ways how this shows up. One, there is trust and cohesion. Because a prestige leader's status rests on benefiting the group, people infer pro-social intent. Trust reduces friction and cohesion rises. Two, information flows and learning gets better. Prestige leaders share knowledge and develop others. Psychological safety is higher, so bad news surfaces sooner and ideas circulate more freely. So that's fertile ground for innovation. And then three, there is stability and legitimacy. When authority is voluntarily granted, it's stickier. Followers support the leader through setbacks and transitions because the relationship is built on earned respect and not intimidation. In historical terms, think beyond the strongmen. Consider revered lawgivers, master artisans, sages, and culture heroes whose lasting authority came from solving collective problems and teaching others to do the same. Their influence often outlived their formal power because it lived in people's heads as skills, as norms and stories. But of course, there are also limits of prestige and why dominance still tempts. Prestige isn't a cure-all. There are contexts where gentle influence struggles. One, when there is a crisis which needs speed, when seconds matter, warfare, collapse, the persuasive, example-led style may be too slow. People often shift toward dominant-style leadership to cut debate and impose coordination. And two, enforcement. Chronic free riding or norm violations sometimes require sanctions, and prestige leaders may hesitate to punish. Without a credible hard edge, bad actors can exploit the climate. The thing about it, even in our most social and democratic societies, we still have rules and laws, right? I can't steal the car of my neighbor. I go to jail. And then prestige also sometimes struggles with signal confusion. In modern settings, prestige can be gamed by popularity or optics. Status drifting to the most visible, not the most competent. And these limits explain why humans keep both tools in the kit. The dual strategy model shows dominance and prestige as distinct but complementary routes to rank. Many durable leaders blend them. They build a deep reservoir of prestige, competence, fairness, teaching, which grants legitimacy and reserve decisive authority for rare moments when enforcement and speed are essential. Followers accept the hard call because a soft power was earned. All right. Last episode, we said fear is a fragile glue. It binds fast and it breaks fast. Today's mirror is that respect is a resilient glue. It binds more slowly, but it endures. Dominance can rally a group to survive. Prestige helps it thrive by unlocking trust and learning and willing effort that no threat can buy. And if there's one thing I wanted to take away from today's show, it's this. Authority that's earned outlives authority that's enforced. Well, get ready for our grand finale of our Hierarchy miniseries next week. We call it Hierarchy Reimagined, Insights for Modern Leadership. And we'll shift from understanding hierarchy to reshaping it for good. We'll tie together all our insights from our primal pecking orders to office politics and show how modern leaders can harness our innate hierarchical instincts thoughtfully. Instead of denying hierarchy, we learn to design it, keeping the clarity and efficiency it offers while building in fairness and humanity, a roadmap for every leader on hierarchy. So don't miss next week. And if this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who is interested in leadership. And don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching a new online leadership academy this fall. The first thing the academy will do is launching a course which is packed with insights, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap for how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And does it in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.